Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we have one more hour to go, and we're really excited to welcome our next guest. He is Dr. David Welch Suggs, Jr., a professor of journalism from the University of Georgia. Professor, thank you. Great to talk to you, and thanks for gracing us with some great knowledge. I can't wait to talk to you.
Oh, Paul, I'm looking forward to it. I'm honored you take a little bit of time out of your draft coverage to talk about the big picture of college sports.
We need to rest our minds, Professor, because it seems to be the same thing over again. Hey, thank you for joining us. And I want to talk about something that you have written. We complain about college athletics all the time. You know, where are we going? And where are we currently standing? So tell us about this model. You have two different models. One's a pretty familiar model. One's bringing the academic part into the equation, where a number of schools pay attention to. I know your school does, but tell us what you have come up with, and then we'll decide whether we're going to bring it to the SEC meetings in a couple of weeks and let Commissioner Sankey decide on it. Go right ahead.
I'm sure Greg would love to hear about this. But Paul, just by way of a little bit of background here, you know, the NCAA has kind of been able to keep up the fiction that athletes are just amateurs who play for the love of the game now for well over 100 years. But over the last 15 to 20 years, as the money has piled up, you have coaches and ADs pulling down 7 and 8 figures a year, people have started thinking, you know, it's really weird that the only people not getting paid are the ones on the field. And it's also weird that colleges are using sports teams to kind of build up their brand. You know, here at Georgia, we had 60,000 applications for somewhere around 5,000 or 6,000 slots in the freshman class last year. And somehow I think probably back-to-back national championships might have something to do with that. But none of that goes to the players on the field. And what we've seen, I think, with NIL, and I've heard a couple of your guests so far this afternoon talk about the chaos that's created. You know, the NCAA had an opportunity to get a handle on that, and they didn't. They tried to fight it in the courts, and when they lost, they really didn't have a plan B. And now the genesis of what I wrote was thinking that, okay, there are a lot of people suing the NCAA, again, athletes who are suing, asking to be paid for what they do on the field, asking to get some of the value of the money coming in from ESPN, from CBS, from the other networks and players in the field. And so what I proposed was essentially, you know, we need to stop trying to tell a fiction about college sports. We need to talk about the reality of college sports. And so the model I propose is that schools should just drop the pretense that they are not in the business of professional sports and develop a professional model, which I call the prestige model in the piece that I wrote for Athletic Director U. And you pay players, you come up with some kind of a compensation model. Obviously, in the SEC, we talk about football and men's basketball, but I think that there are other schools that could develop this for baseball, for softball, maybe even for track and field, which was my sport way back in the day. And then other sports, you move into an academic model that is really much more of the idealistic model that we think of with college sports, that looks maybe like what happens at the Ivy League or Division III or places like that. But we stop trying to create incentives for coaches to push players, you know, to get all they can and then discard them. We try to drop the incentives for players to move around based on NIL deals or based on opportunities to move up in the draft, but let the ones who are pros be pros and let the ones who are not get the greatest value they possibly can out of sports.
Dr. Suggs, it's a great suggestion. And I mean, it really irritates me when I hear college leaders, you know, continue to float the word student athlete, because you've described it accurately. I want to ask you about the odds of this happening, but why do you think there would be such resistance to this? Because we are pretty much there already, based on what our guest told us a few minutes ago with what Deion Sanders is currently doing at Colorado.
Oh, sure. And NIL has just muddied the waters for everybody. But I think, Paul, you talk to many more people in college sports than I do, but I think a lot of people are really horrified at the thought of paying athletes. A lot of people who go into college sports to be coaches or administrators do that because they want to help students grow. And there's nothing wrong with that. I totally understand that. But there's also, you got to realize that those people, as idealistic as they may be, they still get a paycheck every month. And, a scholarship is great. The opportunities that can come from attending college are great. You can take classes with people like me. But I think, number one, that people are just resistant and not willing to take a leadership role if it might happen to threaten their institution. But the other thing that I think is going to come is I think the NCAA could very well lose in the court again. And that's what worries me most about sort of the future of college sports and everything that we all love about college sports, is if the NCAA is no better prepared to lose in the courts over compensation than they were over NIL, then the whole enterprise is going to be thrown into even more chaos.
And that's where we're apparently headed, as you well know and have described. I may be getting more into the psychology of this and the literature of it, but why do you think there is such a resistance? Because right now it still feels like the administrators can complain about NIL. We're going to Congress. We're doing this, but once it becomes a pay for play, what do they say then?
Well, at this point, I think there's so much resistance because what coaches, especially football coaches, that want more than anything else, they want control. Right? They want to minimize the risks to their program. And so I think that no one is willing to step forward and lead on this issue. And so no one's really put the effort into thinking through what we look like on the other side. And I really hope the NCAA starts doing that. But they just passed another set of benefits for athletes that's essentially throwing a little bit more money here and there at them. And so I feel like they still think that they can tinker with their model and solve everything instead of recognizing that they could get their rear ends handed to them in court in the next couple of years on this.
You teach journalism. You're a distinguished professor. So this is an unusual question maybe. And I realize that if you go back 40 years at Georgia, it was certainly a major controversy in terms of the merging of academics and athletics. But we hear athletes on Saturday, and we talk about their GPA and their majors. What do these athletes study for the most part in the academic world? Are they doing the same thing that the rest of the students are doing?
Well, I think a couple of things. First, you can't paint with too broad a brush. I have a ton of athletes in my classes, including some football players, and they're all really smart. I mean, honestly, I don't think you can be a Division I athlete without being really smart. Are your grades necessarily going to reflect that? Maybe, maybe not, because the problem is, in addition to being really under smart, they are under a ton of pressure to do everything they got to do. And I'm not just talking about football players there. I'm talking about swimmers. I'm talking about golfers. I'm talking about tennis players. Their lives are largely controlled by their coaches. And the way that translates is that they are under a lot of pressure to take classes and pursue majors that give them the most freedom to structure what they got to do around their sports. And that's, again, why I think it's just such a terrible model to try to force them into this pretense that they are doing the same thing that other students are doing. And it would be a whole lot more honest to allow them to pursue their education at different times when they're not at their peak athletic, the peak of their athletic powers as they are now. So what I see is athletes who have tremendous potential both academically and athletically, but because of the system we have, they're not able to pursue either one of those things to the best extent that they could.
Dr. Sides, that's a great point, and I'm dating myself way back, but I had a hard time when I got into the field I'm in now, journalism and broadcasting, journalism at the time, you know, working at a school newspaper and maintaining my classes because I was traveling like the athlete. It was impossible, and I wasn't having to practice at 7 in the morning and late at night, which brings me to my final question, and I had a great opportunity this week to speak to a class, a fellow SEC journalism class, and I came away encouraged by the questions, and at times I'm discouraged about the state of journalism and where we are all going. You're on the front line. You help mold the future journalists, and Georgia, as we all know, has a spectacular program. What do you see every day, and where are we all going in this field?
Well, Paul, I hope you come visit our classes too, because you would come away so energized by the wonderful students we have in the Carmichael Sports Media Institute at Georgia. You have one of our original alums, Jamari Jordan, on your staff there, and Mike Ryder from the SEC Network. But what I see are students who love what sports can be. They love the community that it creates. They love the action and the excitement, but they also love the stories that come up in this field. And we try to prepare them to tell those stories. And you've heard, again, you've had guests on your show, including Meadow Barrow last fall, who was one of my students at the time. And they have an energy, they have a drive. I think they are justifiably worried about journalism, as you and I are, and that's a whole conversation we could have. But what I see is, you know, beyond just what's going to happen with newspapers and traditional news outlets, all of these stories are out there to be told, and I think our students are in a great position to tell them and tell them in ways that you and I as old guys can't necessarily understand or comprehend all the time, whether it's going to be TikTok or Instagram or whatever the next thing is down the road. But I think that they have the same ethics that you and I were brought up with. They have the same level of professionalism, and those are the things we try to teach them, and those are the things we hope they leave here with.
I'm glad you said that. And by the way, you mentioned Jamari Jordan, who's in my ear tonight and every night. One thing that he with his colleagues have done, and we do this in the fall, as you mentioned, is we go to campuses every week and we try to feature the young journalists. And it is without a doubt my favorite part of what we do here during the college football season, because I see young people, like you said, they may not be dealt a great hand in terms of the world that we grew up in, but they are far better than I was, and I doubt you, because you've accomplished a great deal in academia, but it is really inspiring to see how they are navigating the landmines everywhere that are currently what we call journalism.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, I was a reporter, and your paths and mine crossed a few times back in the early 2000s, and I always found you to be one of the kindest people in sports media. And so I'm just glad students at Georgia and at other places have gotten a chance to interact with you and gotten a chance to see that firsthand as I did back in the day.
Well, Dr. Sucks, come back. I would like to continue the conversation about the how media covers sports away from what you're teaching every day, because it is fascinating to watch, and I'm certain we have a couple of similar thoughts, but we will share that in the future. But many thanks. This was just a delight to welcome you to the program, and we will see you soon, I hope.
I sure hope so. Thanks again for the opportunity, Paul. It's been great to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Well, fantastic. Dr. David Welch Suggs, Jr. from the University of Georgia on a new model for intercollegiate athletics, and he makes a really great point about the impossibility of athletes being able to take major loads like a normal student. We'll be back with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We'll get to the calls now after a number of guests. Dwayne is in Louisiana. Hello, Dwayne.
The Panthers. Dwayne from Louisiana. Number one pick. Go Tigers. Go LSU Tigers. Yeah. What's up, Paul Baba?
How are you doing?
I'm out here in the Gulf of Mexico, Paul Baba. I'm an hour and a half away in deep water, you know. Yeah,
oh, so
I do work for a living.
So are you on a rig?
Yeah, I'm on the rig on the auger for Shell. I do a lot of work for Shell.
How far
I do a lot
out
of
are you?
Welding for Shell. What?
How far out on the Gulf are you?
Hour and a half.
Okay.
I'm an hour and a half flight. I'm like hour and a half flight in. I'm two and a half away from Cancun, Mexico.
Oh man, and you got a good signal.
I'm way
here.
Out there. Yeah, I'm way out there, buddy. I'm way out here. Yeah, all y'all haters. Yeah, we back. Yeah, we back. Yeah, we looking good this year, baby. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, this is what I do for a living. I do 7 weeks. I come out here for 7 weeks, Paul Feinbaum, and I'll be home the week for Father's Day.
That's a that's a long time to be gone.
Yeah, I make good money, man.
And are you on the rig the whole time?
I'm on the rig the whole time, baby. I ain't leaving off of here. I got a quarter to make, man. They like the state trooper to make their quarters. I got to make my quarter, too.
Huh? That is funny.
Yeah, I got to make my quarter, too. Yeah, but, you know, I got a small wife. My wife like to live good. My wife like to have things, you know. I like to do things, like going trips. Like the, you know, like the explorer.
Well, I hear you. Well, Dwayne, you stay in touch.
We'll keep in touch. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, let all them haters know the pick is in. Dwayne from New Orleans.
out in the middle of the near Cancun. Thanks for the call, Dwayne. We'll talk to you soon. I-Man, a little closer to home.
I tell you what, he's out there in deep water if he's an hour and a half flight. My brother did that for a couple of years.
That is good money, though, I hear.
It's real money. That is real money. And it's a hell of a job. You know, Paul, I think you kind of stepped all over AJ yesterday when he was talking about the Bama basketball player. And it wasn't just one of them things that didn't work out. I mean, the guy was arrested because some people said there's a group of people gathering over here in the parking lot, and the police come up, and there again, there's guns and drugs. I mean, they should discount the drugs. I mean, the marijuana and stuff like that, it's kind of the norm these days. But when you go to talking about guns will bring a whole new
Well, you know something, the guy doesn't play at Alabama. He's been cut loose. So I'm really not interested in the story. You're welcome to opine, but it's not a
germane
story.
I was just, you just stepped all over and said,
well,
oh, it's just one of the things that didn't work out.
You know, there's a lot of Shakespeare quotes about an idiot, and I just chose to.
AJ's not
step
an idiot.
On
I mean, he's.
I mean, if you would like
call
to call the AJ show, go ahead and call the AJ show. But right now, we got other things going on. Thank you for the call. Todd is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I'm just sitting here, and I'm so aggravated. Hey, what's wrong with my little piss out down in Tuscaloosa? Help me, Paul. I need all the help I can get, because I see the same thing that Shannon sees from Georgia. the signs, everything with common sense points at what we're seeing. The only thing that I think could be happening, Saban has lost his integrity, and he can't man up and go tell Milroe you ain't got the job. So he gets another guy to come in. That way he'll jump in the transfer portal and leave. But I don't get it. Am I the only Alabama fan that sees it this way?
I think it's a premature take, but it is also understandable that people are concerned because in Nick Saban's tenure, we haven't been at this juncture.
Well, let me also say this. Saban puts me in, Paul, we moved to town when I was in the seventh grade. And, you know, we played with all other kids, and I had two more brothers, and we played football. We had a lot across from my house. We'd all play. And we played rough and tough as you could get. I mean, we would knock your teeth out, and we ain't got no pads, no helmets on. But Jim and Nick Saban remind me of a kid that would, if you don't play the way they want to, they get their football and they go home. That's what they put me in mind of. But, Paul, let me say this. This is the last thing I'm going to say, and I appreciate you taking my call. Nothing will surprise me anymore that a Democrat will do. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. I'm just the call taker here tonight. How about Sammy up next in Texas? Hello, Sammy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just calling about old Texas A&M, about Bobby Petrino and that whole job. And I just wanted your take. I already know your feelings about A&M, obviously.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you do or not, Sammy. I feel pretty good about where things are with Bobby Petrino. I think that was an outside-the-box choice. I think it was a necessity, and I think they're going to have a good season. Okay, I-Man, we'll allow I-Man to have another word here. We may have lost him a little prematurely a minute ago. You still there, I-Man?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You know, the crux of my call was when we started talking about a Notre Dame quarterback going to Alabama, we already knew that was happening. And I tell you, you can't be the GOAT. You can't be the G-O-A-T, the greatest of all times, if you're tampering in other schools' programs.
I may ask you to talk about the subject I just told you not to talk about after this. Man, you're really going.
I mean, there's a culture problem up in Tuscaloosa,
no,
Paul.
No, there's
I'm
not a culture you, problem, I man. Come on.
There obviously is. I mean, when you're tampering with other schools, when you go on TV and say, we need help,
The guy wasn't in the – he went in the portal and
– knowing.
Well, whether
knowing,
he knew or not
– knowing.
You can't. Do you have any
you
evidence?
You can't explain this away, Paul.
You don't have any evidence of tampering.
You don't have any evidence of what you're saying.
All I'm saying is that your accusation of tampering
has no
justification.
Listen to me. You're just a call taker. And guess what? I'm not calling right now. Have a good day.
Ooh. Yeah. We have gotten a little bit off the rails with I-Man. Why don't we take a break? We'll all calm down. I was trying to be nice to I-Man. I let him come back because I just did not want to talk about a subject that no one cared about. Now, the subject he was talking about, people did care about, but he got a little bit short with us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So we got baseball Saturday, A&M and Arkansas. That is the early game, Missouri and Florida. Primetime. Back to our calls on an eventful day. Billy is in Philly. Hey, Billy.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm calling about the journalist guy from Georgia who was a terrific guest.
He was.
I was a journalist for 12 years, so I understand the game. I live 12 miles from Villanova, and they have some real national quality athletes. My question would be, or interest is, what are some other schools actually doing about it? In other words, what is Georgia doing about the fact that there are a lot of football players, and maybe some basketball and baseball players too, who are smart? There's no question they're smart. And there's no question they got demands on their time like nobody in the world. So, like, what does Notre Dame do? What does Georgia do? What does Alabama do? What does Texas do? I think it's a worthwhile topic, and I think it should be addressed because I think these guys are smart, and I think they deserve credit.
My quick opinion is that the academics are – the athletes are much better than they've ever been because when I went to school – They didn't go to class. They had people doing all kinds of things for them, and they couldn't have told you where the classroom was. And if they did, and I went to class with a few athletes, they leaned heavily on those who actually did the work. Today, every major university has multi-million dollar academic centers where there are numerous tutors. They help plan the schedules. They help find the courses that work out best. Now, there are some extremely smart students, and they take classes that are not the conventional basket weaving of yesteryear. But
right.
I thought the professor was very honest. There's only so much time. There's only so many curriculums you can take and do something else. You can't take nuclear physics or chemistry and play football.
No. I mean, the Villanova basketball players have golf carts, and guys drive them, and that's how their life is spent. They don't have a lot of free time. But they take real courses. They can. And I just think it's, there is a way to...
But, Billy, I think it's also a little bit easier today. And I'm not saying that you're taking shortcuts, but I think about some of the advantages that these students have versus what maybe we had in just relation to technology, and it is significant, and I think that helps short circuit the system a little bit.
Okay. Well, I think it's an interesting subject, and I don't think that athletes have to be kicked to the curb because they're athletes.
But if you're a great player, you want to take classes and you're interested, you want to graduate, it's great. But what's the most important thing tonight?
I agree. That's part of it.
It has to be
a balance for the player.
Billy, great to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. It's been a quiet week for the town crier of Alabama football. He has not chimed in on many of the major attacks on Coach Saban, his program, and where everything is going. So is it about time to hear from someone from Alabama? The official voice right here. Legend is next.
Woo!
Now, I thought you were – are you calling – did you call I-Man first to help – get over his upset feelings?
You know what? I agree with Squirrel. It seemed like ever since him and Jim got in bed, he went off the deep end or something. Seems like he's so obsessed with Alabama. Won't you tell us about that roster Coach Freak got down there? Won't you tell us about that? Y'all be glad to have one of our quarterbacks down there you'd be glad to have down at Bama.
I can think of maybe five quarterbacks that are now on the Alabama roster.
Hey, let me tell you something, Paul. I went down and seen the game Saturday. I went down and see it. You know I keep it real. You know that, don't you? You know I keep it 100. All right, you know, and last year we had the best team in the country. I came on here and said we was a monster because we was a monster. LSU didn't beat Alabama. LSU beat Pete Golden. It's that simple. The dude was in a 1-4-6 on the last play of the game. Come on. Everybody knows that Jalen Daniels is an average quarterback in the pocket. The one thing you don't do is let him out of the pocket. So what did he do? He played a defense with one defensive lineman on the field. Brilliant. Tennessee didn't beat Alabama. They beat Bill O'Brien. But let me keep you real. Alabama had the best team in the country last year. If there was a 12-team playoff last year, we would have won it last year despite two ignorant coordinators. But let me keep it real. We ain't got the best team in the country this year. We absolutely don't. I went down there and seen Saturday for myself in person. You know, Paul, there's nothing like seeing it in person. You know that. You know, when it comes to watching football, there's nothing like seeing it in person. There's one area on the field where we needed help, and that was that quarterback. We're not winning a national championship with Jalen Milroe, and we're not winning a national championship with Ty Simpson. It just ain't happening. We have national championship caliber at offensive line, at wide receiver, at running back. We are a deep team at every position on the field except quarterback. We are not winning a national title with neither one of them guys, but let me say this right here. Nick Saban just pulled an ace out of his sleeve. Woo! I love Tyler Buckner, man. I absolutely love that kid, man. I don't care. I'm going to tell you where Alabama has came up short, Paul. I'm keeping it real, okay? I'm keeping it real, brother. You want me to tell you where we've come up short? You want me to tell you, brother?
I do. I sure do.
It's the transfer portal. We hadn't got enough people out of transfer portal. Every team in the nation that has a five, every time Iowa State get a five-star cornerback, we ought to go get him. If I was a coach in Alabama and you had a five-star player at a position of need, I'd be knocking on his damn door, brother. It's the day and age that we live in, and the reason that Alabama has slipped is because we haven't exploited the transfer portal to the extent that we ought to exploit it, Paul. We ought to exploit it. We ought to be getting five-star receivers. It's the day we live in. You know, it just ain't about recruiting. It's about getting players off other teams. Hell, the whole TCU team played for somebody else last year, Paul. We got to get busy in this portal, man, and start getting some Jordan Addison and them types of players, man. We got to get down. But Tyler Buckner, man, I remember as somebody that follows recruiting, this is a kid that scored 80, was accounted for 81 touchdowns in one season in high school. When he came out, Georgia offered him, Alabama offered him, Notre Dame offered him, UCLA offered him. Everybody wanted him. It didn't quite work out, but I remember against South Carolina, he looked good in that bowl game.
He did.
And I'm saying this. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I'm just playing along with you. That was the only game he did look good in, though.
Yeah, I mean, he ain't look great. He ain't look great, but the genes are there. This kid can be special.
Now, Legend, you said keep it real. Did you see him in some of the other games, like the Marshall game?
Yeah, he threw two interceptions. He has looked bad.
To be the rap on him.
Yeah, but you're talking about a very young quarterback. When he come out of high school, everybody wanted him. He was thought to be the future of Notre Dame.
Everybody wanted some of the other guys that Alabama has, too.
Yeah, sure they did. But I'm telling you, Nick Saban just pulled an ace out of his sleeve. This kid right here can be as good as anybody in the SEC. I know everybody. I've heard Stephen M. Smith. I've heard other people say, what is Alabama doing? I tell you what they're doing. Nick Saban said Saturday he's not winning a championship with the two quarterbacks he's got. He had to make a move. He pulled an ace out of his sleeve. Remember, I told you, this kid right here can be special at the University of Alabama. And for all you haters out there talking about it's over, Alabama's dead, all this, you celebrating, the empire's over. Well, let me tell you what they said in Star Wars. There's a movie that came out called The Empire Strikes Back. And we about to strike back, baby. Woo! While I'm sitting here waiting on the NFL draft, waiting on my coach to draft another Art Sleester. Another Will Levis. I'm waiting on it, baby. I'm waiting on it. Love you, dude. Tell I-Man to kiss my ass. Lay off of Nick Saban. You and Jim disgust me. I'm out.
We're back right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.